God teaches his law to a new generation. This chapter is based on Deuteronomy 3-6:28. The Lord announced to Moses that it was the time to possess Canaan. As the old prophet stood upon the heights overlooking the promised land, with deep earnestness he pleaded, "O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon." The answer was, "Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan." Without a complaint, Moses submitted God's decree, and now his great concern was for Israel. From a full heart, he poured out the prayer, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Numbers 27, verse 16-17. The answer came, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And thou shalt give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." Verses 18-20. Joshua, a man of wisdom, ability, and faith, was chosen to succeed Moses. He was solemnly set apart as the leader of Israel. The words of the Lord concerning Joshua came through Moses to the congregation. "At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation." Verse 21. Moses stood before the people to give his last warnings and important counsel, his face shining with a holy light. His hair was white with age, but he stood straight, and his eye was clear and undimmed. With deep feeling, he portrayed the love and mercy of their almighty protector. "Ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened, or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard, and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." Deuteronomy 7, verse 8-9. The people of Israel had often felt impatient and rebellious because of their long wandering in the wilderness, but this delay in possessing Canaan was not God's fault. He was more grieved than they because he could not bring them into the promised land immediately and demonstrate his mighty power before all nations. With their distrust of God, they had not been prepared to enter Canaan. If their fathers had yielded in faith to the direction of God, walking in his instruction, they would have been settled in Canaan a long time earlier as a prosperous, holy, happy people. Their delay dishonored God and took away from his glory in the sight of surrounding nations. Moses said, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." And he challenged the Hebrew multitude, "What great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" The laws that God gave his ancient people were wiser, better, and more humane than those of the most civilized nations of the earth. God's law bears the stamp of the divine. How must these words have moved the hearts of Israel as they remembered that Moses, who so glowingly pictured the blessings of the beautiful land, had been, through their sin, shut out from sharing the inheritance of his people. The land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Deuteronomy 11, verse 11-12, 8-7-9. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord our God. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. If they would do evil in the sight of the Lord, then, said Moses, you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Moses completed the work of writing all the laws, statutes, and judgments that God had given him, and the regulations concerning the sacrificial system. The book containing these was placed for safekeeping in the side of the ark. Blessings conditional. Still, the great leader was filled with fear that the people would stray from God. In a lofty and thrilling address, he set before them the blessings that would be theirs on condition of obedience, and the curses that would follow transgression. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you this day, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country, in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. But it shall come to pass, if you do not observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you, and you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall drive you. Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, "Oh, that it were evening!" And at evening you shall say, "Oh, that it were morning!" By the spirit of inspiration, looking far down the ages, Moses pictured the terrible scenes of Israel's final overthrow as a nation, and the destruction of Jerusalem by the armies of Rome. The horrible sufferings of the people centuries later, during the siege of Jerusalem under Titus, were vividly portrayed. "They shall besiege you at all your gates, until your high and fortified walls, in which you trust, come down throughout all your land. You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. The tender and delicate woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity, shall refuse to the husband of her bosom, her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of everything in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates." Moses closed with these impressive words: "I call heaven and earth as witnesses this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Deuteronomy 30, verse 19-20. To impress these truths more deeply on all minds, the great leader put them into sacred verse. The people were to commit this poetic history to memory and teach it to their children and grandchildren so that it would never be forgotten. In the future, when their children would ask, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" then the parents were to repeat the history of God's gracious dealings with them, how the Lord had acted to deliver them so that they might obey his law. "The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us."